Okay, GK, just imagine this. Imagine you pull up to the show. Not only is your chair is literally an airplane chair on a mound of sand with a background behind that was like a blue background next to, and I have a double seat airplane chair, and next to me on the chair is a skeleton, and its mouth moves when Jason talks.
I like it. Yeah.
Do you think that, where would you rather be? Would you rather be on that set with your toes in the sand, or on this piece of shit with a fucking Fernie pad with a picture laid with the show card laying against it with the dirty blanket and an Omar?
Do I have to agree with you?
No, you don't have to agree.
Okay, I mean, this is cool also. If we're doing just like, if you can just hear us, it doesn't make a difference either way, you know?
Oh, fuck. Okay. Well,
because I just listen to the show. I never watch the YouTube.
People watch the YouTube. Half of our people watch the YouTube. So, Jason, just one more chance here. Why did you scratch the Desert Island set?
I had to.
Okay. I'm not going to pursue this anymore. I'm going to talk to GK. He's a man with limited time. He's doing a lot of things. GK, the commander-in-chief, the big colonel, the big muckety-muck of the MSK crew. I don't know if any of you people know what that is. For those not in the know who've never even heard of, like, who think graffiti is, like, you know, like a funky... A funky dude on roller skates doing the splits and pop locking and like spraying the word God on a train. Because there's still people that think that. There's still people that think graffiti is like.
I think more people think it's like a 14-year-old Mexican kid with a backpack and Jenko jeans.
Right. Maybe so. Maybe so.
Yeah.
But if you know what graffiti is, you're going to know what MSK is. And if you know what graffiti is, you're going to know who GK is. And you're going to understand the weight and levity of him being the master and commander of the MSK crew, maybe the colonel, maybe the head motherfucker in charge.
The vessel.
He's just a humble guy.
Vessel.
GK, we had a 35-year. I mean, 35 years is a long time.
Yeah, for anything.
For anything. I mean, I thought it was 20, and I kept thinking, like, it's my 20-year graffiti.
No,
it's 35 years. It's like, what the fuck?
I've known you 30 years alone, just me and you.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. I mean, I knew you when you were...
A baby. No, I had no facial hair. I had
you were a baby.
A couple hairs on my nuts, and that was about it.
You had I remember to be exact, you had 6 hairs on your nuts. We counted your nut hair.
The first meeting.
Yes, we're like, okay, let's see those nuts.
Nut check.
Six hairs. Can we let them in? Yeah, let's let them in.
I couldn't get an AWR at that point.
No, you couldn't. Yeah. That's why we created a baby crew for the guys with baby nuts.
The prepubescent crew. Yes, that was us.
Yeah, prepubescent preteen crew. Yeah, you know, like, I guess we'll go all the way back since you want to date me and say that I've known you for 30 years, which is true, which I knew you when I was a teenager. You were a pre-teenager probably.
I was probably 15,
right?
I would say, yeah.
And, you know, and like you were the young dude who was like hanging out with these older graffiti writers and really excited with the idea of like being around these guys who are from this crew called AWR. And he was like, you used to before his GK was gank, and you're just like a little shit, and you're running around, and you're just like, and this was deep in Agoura.
I'm not from Agoura.
You're not from Agoura.
Calabasas.
You're from Calabasas.
Just to make that's like saying Santa Monica and Venice.
Sure.
Almost.
Okay. But I remember that a lot of the intersections happened in Agoura, right?
Yeah. Cause we had like a couple, we had friends out there and crew members out there and a couple party houses, at least
two,
maybe 3 party houses.
Yeah.
You know, that we'd all like converge on and drink 40s of Mickey's and shit like that.
Shit like
90s
that.
Type stuff.
Yeah. Oh my God. It was so crazy. And then I come up from LA and I just was like, you know, I honestly don't think I'd ever been to the suburbs. And I just was like, what is this? This is crazy.
You know, what's funny is I was telling the other story the other day, the first time I ever got hit up, like your classic LA, like where are you from?
Like where are you from? Yeah.
I was in Venice and I was into skateboarding, but I sucked thoroughly at skateboarding. And, I went there and I had like a World
Industries. You're at the pavilion?
Yeah. I had like a Ron Chapman shirt on.
Yeah.
And, these kids ran up on me and they're like, where are you from?
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm from Calabasas. And they look like confused. Like, I was
fuck?
Like, no, it's like over, like if you drive this way, get the 101.
You didn't get it.
And it's just like, and they're just like, never mind. You know,
they gave up.
Yeah. They didn't. It was fuck, you know, like,
yeah.
So
that's funny.
That's a nice introduction.
Later on, you figured out what that meant. You're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
They're asking for my gang affiliation.
Yeah. And then that became like, you know, that's a major thing in Los Angeles.
Those
words together, where are you from?
Yeah, where are you from? And then, you know.
Could mean life or death.
Could mean life or death. And then they can go so far as to like, you say you're not from anywhere. They go, well, you got to pull your shirt up.
Right.
You know, they, I remember they started doing that like, you know, 10, 15 years ago. Yeah. Like I'd hear about that, you know?
Or then when someone says, where are you from? And then you say, da, 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 da. And they say, oh, hell no. And then you're like, wait, where are you guys from? And they're like, we're from over here. And you're like, oh, wait, I know so-and-so.
Right.
I know Big Spooky.
Yeah.
And my auntie lives over there. Or yeah. Some fucking shit. You make up something and try to like relate to the savages they're trying to.
Right. Or they say, where are you from? And you tell them and they're like, but where's your grandma from?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're like, oh, and they're like, oh.
Where's your auntie from? That's from a movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, man. You know, it was a hairy time in
I think it's still hairy.
It is still hairy. I talked to this kid that works at this kid I know. He works at a restaurant I go to. I know him for a long time. I'm not gonna say his name, but he told me he lived off of Virgil, and I just saw him the other day. It was like a week ago, and he said he moved. I was like, why'd you move? He goes, well, I was walking down the street in Virgil, and three dudes just hopped out, ran up to me, stuck a knife in my neck, and were like, where the fuck are you from? He's like, I'm not from anywhere. And they like pulled his shirt up and they're like, you know, I mean, that's a pretty hard sweat.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like he's, you know, it was just by the virtue of him being a youngster. You know? He's a young dude, not white, in a t-shirt. And it's like, you know, he's also like, it's on the same street as like Squirrel and Courage Bagels, where it's like all, you know, it's all well-off kids waiting in line to get bagels and to get pesto bowls, you know, which are like $30 and like delicious.
Yeah, but I feel like that's like, I'm neutral now. I'm not like a threat. I don't look.
No, you've aged out. Yeah. We're at an age where it's like there's no.
Yeah.
You're not even.
I'm totally good.
You actually, kids can't even see you. You're not even visible.
Totally
you're
invisible. Like, I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like what? What is that? No, they don't. No. Yeah.
You know, it's funny. Fast forward a little bit in this. Our anniversary was here in LA, and we got a space in South Central LA. Eclipse put it together, or helped put that part together. And it was in the hood. It was in like there was a neighborhood like a block over.
Yeah. There's like three neighborhoods around there, right?
Well, there's like a few, but like I wasn't paying the inside. I was paying the inside. I wasn't paying the outside. And they were you there when they were dumping?
No.
Yeah, there's fucking a bunch of shots got let off, like seven on the outside.
Close to the wall?
It was like ricocheting off the buildings right next to ours.
Are you serious?
Yeah. But the joke before that though was like, we're gonna get run up by somebody, right?
Yeah, of course.
But like we had a couple guys from the crew that are from New Zealand.
Yeah.
And I thought it'd be hilarious if like someone like, you know, like, where are you from? And they're like, New Zealand, mate.
Yeah, mate.
You know? And they're just like, what is New Zealand? Like,
I mean, heard of that. You're basically, I thought about it driving up. I was like, okay, this like street. And I'm like, so you're basically lighting up a whole building.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like there's like, I don't know, 100 guys out there. Maybe.
I think we had close to 70. Yeah.
But on the outside, there's 30 guys various types of dudes just painting all kinds of shit.
Yeah. But we got all the different socioeconomic classes, races, colored lines.
Yeah, no colored lines.
You know, we get hip hop and heavy metal and punk rock and just this sort of
we do
hodgepodge of humans.
Color all the musical spectrums.
So I think if you were like strictly on that like gangster shit, where you just like have to have a shaved head and you only are allowed to wear a certain kind of pants and shoes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think you see our group of people and we look like space aliens down there.
Yeah, but also it's like
most of us.
But there's also something to be said for just like, what the fuck are you doing here?
Oh,
and like
sure,
the
sure.
wrong guy comes, he's like, let's just shoot one of these guys.
No doubt. Yeah, yeah.
Like let's just shoot one of these guys in the legs just for fun. That's not
cool.
Even like, you know.
I know.
It's like, you know, so I thought about it too, and I was talking to Paisa, and he's like, I'm not trying to be here after dark. I'm like, you're smart. I'm not trying to walk around.
We clean it up after dark.
Yeah. You're like, okay, guys, get inside.
But that was one of the things that was cool about that, because we had the two big outside walls.
Yeah.
And then we had like four walls inside.
Yeah.
And we had this huge fucking gate so we could like totally be contained.
Yeah.
And like, you know, drink and smoke and bullshit and not have to worry about anything.
It's crazy. Where did that dude Hammer come from? Alloy brought him over to the office. I was like.
So Hammer's from Omaha, Nebraska, and resides in Kansas City.
But like he's a legit bodybuilder.
He's pretty buff.
Like I think no, I think he's a bod. Like I think he competes. So think about this. Just put this together in your head. He's like a real. He's a real writer. He's not he's not like a hobbyist.
He's really
like,
good.
I've seen his shit. It's like insane, right?
He's totally good. Yeah,
really good. But also, he's like a bodybuilder who spends like, you know, 4 months cutting weight and puts on the little fucking thing and like poses in front of lights. And I'm like, when have you ever seen that? Of course, you've seen buff writers, but I've never seen an actual bodybuilder as a real graffiti writer or anything even close to it. Those two worlds never mix in my vision, in my experience.
Yeah, it's unique. It's a new thing.
It's a new thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, listen, we're in a new age. Like, it's everything is so weird and different. And, like, people have access to so much stuff. And it's like a guy like that, you know, without the internet, he probably would have never existed without seeing, you know,
sure.
like magazines wouldn't have cut it, you know.
Yeah, we've got kind of a neat crew. There's a lot of crews that are, you know, our size or bigger that a lot of the guys are real samey. You know, even yeah, with like, we put in like 12 people.
Yeah.
And we got one that looks like Kurt Cobain.
That dude's sick. Who's that guy?
I don't want to reveal, but he's the fucking man.
Wait, hold on. Just beep this. Will you beep this? No.
I don't know.
Will you remember to beep this?
Okay.
What's his name?
Who looks, you know, like a space cadet.
He looks straight up
yeah.
fucking Seattle, 1998, just like,
and, but he's amazing,
but and totally the dude he's next to.
Looks like fucking the devil.
That dude, like those, and their homies, evil son of a bitch.
Well, they get up together and it's like this, like,
that's the thing.
They make graffiti. Beautiful music together.
It's so funny. You know what I mean? That's the thing. I was tripping out on them too. I was looking at those two guys who got in. I'm like, they're homies.
Yeah.
But they couldn't be more opposite looking people.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, when you see them out, you're like, you probably are like, because if you don't know what's going on, you're just like, what's bringing, those guys must be like either in a band or they're junkies or they're in a church group.
But that's the beauty about graffiti. So it's like when I grew up, like thinking gangster stuff was like the coolest, you know, like gangster's very like, it's very limited, you know, like what you can say and do and act. And,
that's true.
Graffiti writers are fucking all over the place.
All over the place.
Like we got kids that grew up in the projects, we're trust fund kids, you know, like all hang out together when you share this fucking same, hobby or lifestyle, whatever the fuck you want to call it. And,
So our man GK, he put together the 35th MSK reunion. And the old heads decided to tag along, all right? That's the AWR crew. At first, it was an MSK thing. Uh-huh. And then all of a sudden, all the old dinosaurs came out of the woodwork. And let me tell you something. I never went to a high school reunion.
Uh-huh.
But this was the equivalent to that for me. Because this is like, I didn't go to high school. I went to AWR school. Like, I didn't.
Right.
I barely, you know, that's
AW
what I did.
AW University?
Yeah, AW University. I mean, that was like my fucking shit. And I was like, this is all I want to do for the rest of my life. but they, and you see these guys and like, you're just seeing like, what?
That
Tell?
Yeah, there's a bunch of that.
Like, Reed? Like, what? Like, these are guys who like, they were in it when I started.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was crazy. It's crazy. They're all, so good seeing Hayes.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, I mean, was that, do you Hayes talk to great. Hayes?
Yeah, I talked to Hayes a little bit. In this past month, I've talked to more people than I normally do.
Yeah.
Ramping up this.
Yeah.
And one of my hopes was that, you know, that'll continue and more of these people start to, because over time, you know, we go all our different ways and sometimes we just kind of forget, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know,
well, everyone
6 months
has their click, you know?
Click, but also just like, just dumb life shit, you know, paying bills and family and fucking kids and all that shit. So it's like, you forget some shit happens and 5 years passes, 10 years passes.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been doing better now as far as trying to communicate, but there have been times where like I've gone maybe a year without really talking to anybody.
Yeah.
You know, or even like painting that much.
Yeah.
So I think this has been a happy, healthy thing for everybody involved. You know, I saw a lot of people I haven't seen in over 20 years.
Yeah.
I met new people.
Yeah.
You
put a bunch of guys down.
We put 12 or 13 people. We've never done that before. It's kind of a big deal for us.
Yeah. Seriously. Yeah. It's usually like squeaking in one or two guys and it's a whole thing. This was like, all right, let's just get some fucking heavy hitters in. What happens.
Well, I got a plan in place.
Yeah.
So we'll see it. You know, maybe we'll do the pod in 5 years and
see what happens.
See how that went. It's either going to be a total disaster or, you know.
Personal story. I do this. I sign up for things on a whim all the time. I sign up for some sort of thing that ends up being a subscription service. I signed up. Perfect fucking example. I bought a candle. I don't remember where it was from. I bought a candle from someplace that popped up on Instagram, an Instagram ad. I bought a candle. And I did it quickly because everything's so fast. You can just boom, 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 press a button and it's coming. I buy a candle. It gets delivered to my house. And little did I know, it's a fucking candle subscription. They're such sons of bitches. It's a candle subscription. Like, would we do that to you? Would I sell you a t-shirt and just buy, by the way, there's one coming every month for the next 16 years? No, I would not do that to you because I'm not a shiesty swindler trying to get a fucking buck out of rock.
It's an ambush, it's a scam.
It's a goddamn it's a fallacy wrapped in a lie, dropped inside of a riddle in a website that you press your PayPal button to and you update your address. And I'll tell you this,
It's like a virus for your credit card.
It's a virus for your credit card. And, you know, so I get this candle in the mail, and then I get three more candles before I figure out how to kill the subscription. Well, you know, that was before I had Rocket Money. Now I set up my Rocket Money. Rocket Money, formerly known as Truebill, is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. I'm talking convenience. With the same convenience that you signed up for a service that you probably didn't want, you can also sign up for a service that kills that service that you signed up for that you didn't want. Over 80% of people have subscriptions they forgot about, like that streaming service you bought to watch just one show on, which I've done. I ordered the Zeus channel to watch some reality show where a bunch of men were fighting over what bed they're going to sleep in. And that's all I wanted to see. And I saw it and I was satisfied, and I still had the thing. I still had the subscription. 80% of people have subscriptions they forgot about, like that streaming service you bought just to watch one show on, or that free trial that you never even use. Rocket Money will quickly and easily identify your subscriptions for you, so you can stop paying for the ones you don't want. Simply find the subscription you don't want and press cancel, and Rocket Money will cancel it for you. No more long hold times of customer service or tedious emailing back and forth. Rocket Money makes canceling subscriptions as easy as the click of a button. Over 3 million people have used Rocket Money, saving the average person up to $720 a year. I'll tell you right now, that's a lot of motherfucking candles.
You're deeper in than you think, guys. You're a lot deeper in than you think. Do you really want to spend hours digging through all those subscription emails to see what you're subscribed to in the first place?
Stop throwing your money away, cancel unwanted subscriptions, and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/PTA. That's rocketmoney.com/PTA. rocketmoney.com/PTA. Kill those subs like a torpedo.
Kill those subs of bitches.
Yeah, I feel like it was. I feel like crews do this. Crews have an arc where like there was a time when probably I would say MSK was undisputedly maybe the best crew in the world at one point, right? Maybe
we for still a long, are. We're just not the most active,
right? But yeah. maybe for a long time, I feel like there was no one that could touch that crew. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you guys are just like, it's just you guys aged out, so you can't be putting your ass on the line as much.
Yeah,
and doesn't mean they're still not, you know, amazing, but now. A lot of crews will do this. Like a lot of crews come back, and some crews do it successfully.
Yeah, some guys put in trash.
Like, yeah, OTR came back.
OTR's great. Yeah, good
in a major way. I didn't see that coming.
Right, they're like.
I turn around.
They're not like, even really like aesthetically the same crew because they're like, you know, they had a heavy bus vibe.
Yeah,
like steady. Like they're more known for like tags and hands. And
now they're just like
kind of being badasses in general.
Badasses, you know? yeah, just totally bad boys.
Yeah, but you know, not for nothing. Like this crew has sort of set the groundwork for the structure of graffiti in the 2000s, as far as like multiple cities, multiple styles, right. Being able to have everything from tags to pieces, throw ups. You know, mural walls, trains, all the thingies, you know, whereas like maybe in the 90s, like dudes are more specialized.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely covered all bases. I mean, I got to say that, God, seeing all the, I mean, the only person I didn't see there that I want to see was Crush. I heard he was sick.
Crush, yeah, he couldn't come through. Bless couldn't come through your family thing.
Yeah, Bless couldn't get down there.
A couple guys had family commitments.
Right.
That didn't let them come through.
Yeah. But, you know, it was an amazing event. Congratulations for putting it together.
Thank you.
And I think that, you know, I just feel like I look at all these guys and, you know, man, some of these guys have truly given their life over to graffiti in a way that is insane. Like, I'm like, that is like I thought I did when I was a kid. I was like, I'm going to do this forever. And obviously I didn't, you know, because I started like trying to. I don't know. I just started getting my ass kicked so much. I was like, what is there anything else? And I remember just kind of like having to choose between like, well, I'm either going to do graffiti or I'm going to like, I don't know, start fucking jogging or something. Like I had to figure it out, you know, but I think I had too many like other things I had to fix with myself. I don't know whatever the case may be. I didn't stay in there. But I also thought that too, I also thought that graffiti was a thing that like, you pick up and you put down like, you know, like playing lacrosse and you just think about it one day, but like it's never left. It's permeated every, like I'm still connected to all these guys. It's permeated everything I do. I still like, it affects how I draw, affects how I design, affects how I look at like filmmaking, all these things. Like it's really crazy.
Well,
like,
we're really, kind of early-ish LA writers.
Yeah.
I'm a 90s writer. You know, LA and graffiti goes back to the 80s. But when I started, you know, when I was 14 years old, there's no such thing as a 30-year-old graffiti writer.
Oh, yeah.
It didn't exist. There was, I didn't think there was 25. And even if like you saw someone up and someone's like, yo, that dude's like 22. That's like really, really, really old. And you're like, what the fuck is wrong with that human? You know?
Yeah.
Because you're supposed to be a graphic designer or a fucking
tattooer,
some dumb shit. I guess nowadays it's sign writers and house painters.
Right, right.
So, things change. And you know, you got dudes. You know, I live in Philadelphia. I lived in Philly for 17 years, and we got two crews in that city that have been around since the 70s.
Whoa.
And the leader of one of those crews, who lives in the neighborhood I live in, I won't call my neighborhood. I just live there. He's been riding since 79.
What?
Yeah.
What crew is that?
It's a crew called KIW, Kings in War.
And what does he write?
Cat.
Wow. 79?
Yeah, man.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, man.
So he's like in 50, 60
something. Yeah. He still catches tags too.
He does?
Yeah.
Wow. It's crazy. It really gets into people's like, it really permeates your shit. Like it's something, and unlike other things that people do, mm-hmm. like graffiti really gets under your skin, and like it's something that I don't think you can ever, like I'm still to this day trying to figure out like better throw ups. I don't know why.
Right.
I'm, you know, and like I keep getting tempted. I'm like, maybe I'm going to, you know, like maybe I'm going to like go out, you know, in COVID and do all this stuff. But then it's like, I have to live by a certain set of rules now that are like put in, like I know a bunch of other ex graffiti writers that kind of live by these rules in order mm-hmm. to stay sober. Right. And if I do go out and do that stuff, then I have to like pay a penance for it somehow. That's kind of the rules that we live by now. So it's like, I can't really do it. And like, I have guys like Alexis being like, what do you, like, I remember like catching tags in front of a meeting.
He's
like,
I remember you said that.
What are you doing? I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, and I never thought in my mind, I never thought that, I always thought that it was my job to do graffiti and it should be there. Mm-hmm. I never thought anything about, the only thing I thought about was not getting caught. Right. I never thought about it being like fucked up for someone else to deal with, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I don't know. It's interesting. Like but I'm also like, dude, I'm still so fucking impressed. Like, you know, like everyone, the best part about the meeting too, which was great, was, you know, like you had a microphone and a speaker and you had a speech written.
Yeah, partially.
Which is like, you've always taken, I remember the last one where you were giving a speech and I was like,
that was tougher last time.
Right.
I was way more nervous.
Yeah, yeah, you were more nervous.
And I felt like super robotic.
Yeah.
And you played me a clip of that before.
I did.
And I hated it so much.
Oh, yeah.
So I didn't want to terrorize myself this time as much.
Yeah.
So I made it sort of more loose and I like practiced like speaking in the mirror, like.
Yeah.
For days, so that I kept because I'll get lost if I feel that pressure on me talking in front of a bunch of people, even though like they're my best friends, you know.
It's so funny too because you just every crew does everything differently, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like there's other crews that were like they'll never like someone will talk and it'll be like there won't be a speech. It'll just be like fucking what's up with you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like everyone has a different dynamic, mm-hmm. and I always think too is like in our crew, in the history of our crew, there's always been like rivalries inside.
Sure.
There's always been like this fool's angry, this guy's mm-hmm. pissed off. Like, because there's so many personalities, there's so many crazy fucking people.
Yeah, for sure.
And I talked to other guys about their crews. I'm like, do you guys have, you know, beefs? Like, no, we've never had beefs with each other. I'm like,
well,
really?
I've taken inspiration from like LA gang stuff.
Yeah.
I was into like baseball when I was a little kid. So like structures of teams.
Yeah.
And music. And I've been obsessed with it for so long, and I've seen a lot of crews that I loved early on, either like they're just full of crackheads now, or just like they lost their style, like something went wrong along the lines.
Right.
Like I've always like what happened? Like what made that guy that was super fucking good, that crew that was super solid, now suck?
Yeah.
And what we got is kind of special, and it's not by chance. Like a lot of us worked really hard for this.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, there are the strong personalities. You know, I get this, like, I get to get the title of leader, even though Eclipse is, you know, the true prime minister.
Right.
Supreme leader. There's a method to this, and I just don't want our crew to turn into trash.
No, it's good. I mean,
I was going to say it's hard because we do have such big personalities and such heavy talent and egos and just life and stuff. We all got to juggle all this stuff, and it's a lot, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
We got a lot of guys that are really successful now.
Yeah.
We got some guys that are less successful now.
Right.
And to get all these guys in the same, you know, parking lot in South Central, and everyone, it's all love, is really beautiful.
Yeah. No, it's crazy. I mean, and also, like, you think about, I don't know, just the amount of talent and how much that stuff feeds off of each other.
Dude, no one stepped in this roll call. As far as, like, we got like at least a dozen people. Like, if they were just a dozen people were in their crew alone, yeah, no one could touch them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's really a step beyond a lot of other crews.
No, there's some just heavy, like, I just think about how too, like, those, seeing how everyone progressed over the years and like went from being really good to just like, what the fuck is going on now? You know, like, well,
and that was one of the things I spoke on the meeting. So we got with these dozen new guys. They're all fucking great. They're all fucking amazing fucking artists. The hopes is that they become more amazing and more productive.
Yeah.
And they really, like, take somebody like Rhyme.
Yeah.
One of the best in the world.
Yeah.
Before he got in the crew.
Right.
And then he got in the crew and he got even fucking better. Yeah. And like his personality really like meshed well, and he found a groove, and he helped us get so much better.
Yeah.
And he got so much better. And that's really like, you know, not everyone's going to be Rhyme. He's totally fucking one off. But
that's what I was thinking of too, about someone who like got better. And then also like, that's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, how do you like there's somewhere you go with graffiti where
you hit the ceiling.
No, like I think you get to a point where it's like everything you do, no matter what happens, no matter what your materials are, is really, really, really good. Mm-hmm. It's like a flow state.
Oh, sure. Yeah. But right? No. Some people lose it though, man. There's plenty of people that have fucking lost it. They were so fucking amazing. And maybe they, maybe just there's like mental health creeping on them or something, or maybe they did a little too many sniffy things, or whatever it was. Something fucking shifted and they lost that.
But I feel like there's got to be 5 or 6 guys who, no matter what, let's say you put them in a sarcophagus for 10 years and let them out, they'll still be insanely.
Yeah,
like,
some of them, yeah.
Like Rhyme, Revolt, like those guys are like,
they're too good.
They're too good. Like I've never seen a bad, like, after like even their awkward phase was really good, right? Everyone has an awkward phase,
sure,
but even like after that where they're like, they're still killing it in that time and space. If you put it up against everything else and shit, they're still killing it.
Well, they're really progressive artists. They don't like, you know, they don't, you know, there's a lot of writers, and for better or worse, and I'm not mad at them, that just do the same fucking thing repeat it forever, and that is a very special thing in graffiti. But those guys have never, speaking specifically about Rhyme and Revoke, they've never been afraid to take chances.
Yeah.
And if you look at, you know, 100 fucking pieces of theirs,
yeah,
there's going to be a couple that are a little samey, but there's the diversity, and
oh, yeah,
it's just like one flex after another.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It's really hard to step to, you know?
No, it's insane. It's insane. I think there are other groups in the world that exist that are, you know, there's societies and clubs that have always existed, and like they're doing things like, you know, manipulating the weather and, you know, making stocks tank and, you know.
Yeah, all that good stuff. Buying all the properties in the neighborhood.
Yeah, buying all the properties in the neighborhood, or like secretly, you know, making the price of corn rise, you know, and then.
You know the water one now?
Yeah, is there water?
So like, since I've been here in LA, there's like a thing in Philly where like some fucking latex plant dumped a bunch of fucking chemicals in the river.
Yeah.
Which just gets Philly's drinking water. But like people are like, no, actually it's Nestle. Like they just like put out a fake news thing, so everyone bought the fucking bottled water.
Oh God.
Anyway, sorry to
it's so burnt.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
So we're so burnt, dude.
Yeah, totally.
yeah, I mean it's I don't know if, I mean, I think every year, every generation, I think the world does get worse. I think it doesn't really get better.
Better and worse.
Right? And I think like some things get better, but I think like the toxicity of the world and like how badly we're fucking it up, you know.
I think there's just too many of us. And I don't want to be like, I'm for population control, but
yeah,
I don't understand how we can keep going.
No, honestly, it's not sustainable.
Like when you're like watching, I'll watch like something about like the pollution in like Bangladesh or Indonesia or India. And I'm just like, oh my God, we're so fucking gross, dude.
Bro.
I was like watching these people. They're going down some river in India, and it's like this beautiful green river, and there's a confluence. And this river that bumps into this other river is only shit.
Right.
Like they're in a green river
yeah.
And then they get to the fucking shit river and like, it's just shit. Like where else does the shit go? Like, we poop so much.
Dude. That's
like
just
think about the trash. I watched this whole thing on the trash in New York City, and like what they have to do in that city. Just like,
yeah.
You know, they get the trash, compact the trash, and they just ship it out of the city. They ship it to fucking Kentucky or Tennessee or fucking Pennsylvania.
They're going to start like, sending this.
Where do we put all this shit?
We got to start figuring out how to get all this stuff into space. It's expensive. Everything's too expensive. That's why everyone won't do it. Everyone
make the moon a trash dump.
Yeah, or just fucking make asteroids out of it. I don't know, like
giant trash balls.
Yeah, trash balls, man. Yeah. The space
trash
is infinite.
Balls. That's what's up.
Space just is infinite. Dog. You know why we can't do it? Because everything costs too much. If they found a cheap way to get shit into space, we could save our asses.
But could they get the trash ball past the firmament?
What's the firmament?
That's like one of those flat Earth fucking things.
Oh yeah,
they think the whole Earth is capped by some fucking. Yeah. Like
well, it might hit
thing.
The dome and go bong and come back down.
go back to India.
Yeah, go back to India. No, I see that. I see those like river, you know, there's like a river in Colombia or somewhere in South America where it's just like completely clogged with just so much trash.
Yeah.
Just trash. Just fucking trash. Bottles. Yeah, and plastic. I'm like looking at it, I'm like, this is the saddest thing. Like it's so sad and it makes me feel so bad. And I'm also just like, I don't think there's anything I can do to ever make it even a dent in it. You know?
Yeah, it's hard to wrap your head around it.
It's hard like, to wrap your head around it. Yeah.
Know?
Yeah. We're just kind of fucking
lazy. We're lucky. As shitty as America has its things, you know, especially in LA, it's like it's very evident that there's issues.
Yeah.
We're still really fucking lucky. You know?
Yes. 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 We're still because we're not in a third world country where all the I think there's probably places where there's probably third world countries where we send our shit too. There's probably places where we're just like, you know what? Let's just send this to fucking Ecuador, you know. It's like they're just like, fuck it, you know. It's like on a bigger scale, I think that the richer countries are shitting on the smaller countries in the same way rich neighborhoods shit on smaller neighborhoods.
Yes,
you know.
It's a human characteristic trait.
So I don't know if I asked you about this last time you were here. I probably did, but like, what do you think? Like, why? Like, do you think about what motivates people to become graffiti writers?
I think about it all the time.
Yeah,
I think about you know, why people set fires. I say that all the time.
Right.
It's a combination of everything. You know, I think most of us are kind of fucked up. It's sort of like this, like an outcry. I think, you know, there are some people who do it for creativity. You know, it's funny. Last time I was on here, like, I did that horrible mistake of reading the comments.
Oh, God. Don't do that.
I know. I love to torture myself. But, you know, like, someone's like, oh, what all this crybaby shit? Like, I just do it to bomb. And
oh,
I'm just
like,
yeah, but there's that's just the surface. You know, there's definitely, like, underlying issues for most of these guys.
Right.
And all the if you give, like, the top 50 best graffiti writers of all time, I'm going to guarantee 47, 48 of them are like fucked up humans deep downside. You know, there's some like underlying issues.
Yeah. Well, no one's doing graffiti because they're like incredibly healthy minded and come from a great place. A lot of people do. Some people come from a great home. Some people get obsessed with graffiti, unfortunately.
Right.
Some people come from
terrible. But the best ones, the most savage, like cutthroat graffiti writers.
Yeah.
There's something a little off.
There's something off. I mean, yeah. I think even the most well balanced graffiti writers are still gonna like you're gonna tell me Gary doesn't have OCD?
He's got something.
There's no way.
Yeah.
You can't do that. There's no way you could be that good. He must know how to count dust.
Mm-hmm.
Like he must know how many particles are in the air at all times. Mm-hmm. You know, like I don't know. Like
I think that's the only thing. I mean, we might have talked about this last time. It's like whether you're in a fucking football or a guitar.
Yeah.
It's like It takes that obsession to be good.
And that's the thing that blows my mind is like, I feel like people, you know, as someone who was involved and is, you know, watches it all the time. Like when I see guys like, you know, Gary and Royds, right. Mm-hmm. And I see what they do. I'm like, I don't think people understand what they're doing. Like outsiders, mm-hmm. like don't understand the history of graffiti and like where it all comes from.
Well, that's art in general though.
You know,
like there's like this thing with people that just like a lot of people like hate art.
Okay.
You ever meet people? They're just like, it's a waste of time.
What?
I've never seen. Oh dude, trust dude. Read. Let's say there's a public, let's say there's a wall in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
And the wall, they gave the artist $50,000.
Yes.
And that becomes public.
Sure.
Read the comments in that. Well, we could use that $50,000 for.
Right.
All these other things.
Right.
You know, and a lot of people, it doesn't even like register to them. Like they don't see it. They're not into it.
Right.
I paint people's homes for a living and the vast majority of them don't give a shit about art.
I mean, you're also in a working class neighborhood in Philly, right?
Now, I live in a working class neighborhood. I work in the two counties over where it's like a mixture of suburban sprawl and rural, like, horse country.
Yeah, I mean, those guys don't really give a shit about fucking
America. But that's most of America.
I forget.
There's stuff outside the cities.
Yeah. I mean, I live in the pocket of the most like, you know, I'm in the middle of fucking Echo Park, which is in the middle of East LA, which is, you know, it's just like I'm in the nexus of the fucking one of these like hubs of just like everyone is, you know, we're paying $25 for a smoothie and like shopping for pants all
and
the
rest of the country hates you.
Right. And the rest of the country is like we're gonna roll coal and fucking drink Mountain Dew Code Red and you're idiots. And like we probably are
there's idiots. A lot of like people calling each other idiots, you know. I think it's just like I don't really care about that stuff. I've been all over America. I've never been really outside of America too much.
Right.
But there's usually something you can relate to anybody, you know. But you know, a lot of these areas though, when I work in my area, I don't really talk about graffiti. You know, it's like almost like a double life.
Right.
Because it doesn't really make sense to a lot of people.
Right.
You know, like, especially because I'm 46 years old.
They don't want to, they also are like, what? They don't.
Like, why?
Like, they're like, can you just paint this eggshell white? I don't want.
Yeah. But even in the city, it's like, I remember when I did time, like, I'd meet hood dudes that did much more serious crimes than I did, and I got more time than they did. And they're like, you know, the thing they just kept saying, if it doesn't make dollars, then it makes sense. I'm like, I don't really, that's not really what it's about for me.
Yeah.
Maybe a little more now at this age.
Yeah.
You know, because time's precious, but it just like it doesn't compute, you know, like people can't fathom like exerting that energy and taking all those risks for something that doesn't, you know,
right,
you don't get dividends at the end.
No, there's no, and we talked about that last time too, where it's like there is no, the it's just like a very, I don't know, to give yourself something like that where there is no end game or payout is just a very interesting.
But that's the greatest part of it.
Yeah, that's what
art is also, art and music.
Right.
You know?
No, I think about that shit all the time too. There's something I don't know if it's like, I don't know what it really is. Is it like being a Buddhist? Is like just being like, I'm gonna play this guitar, you know? Like I won't play the guitar because I'm just like, I don't want to play the guitar unless I'm gonna like figure out how to do it really well, and I'm not gonna do it really well, so I'm not gonna play the guitar. And that's a dumb reason to not do things. Right. I think, you know.
Yeah.
I've gotten better at doing other stuff, and even just doing it for the sake of doing it, but. Yeah, no, it's really interesting. It's also like it takes you over. Like I said, you know, nothing's worse than getting too good at graffiti because you will never quit.
Yeah, but you gotta enjoy it though too. Because there's been times where I sprayed a bunch for like a week, and then at the end of the week, I'm just like, I don't really give a fuck about any of that I just did. And
yeah,
I'll take some time off.
Yeah,
and then I'll catch like a couple of tags at a certain time, and I'm like, on fire in my head. I just like love it, you know.
Yeah.
So it's like you guys just gotta do what feels good, you know. Like I've been here a long time. Like it's okay to take breaks here and there.
Yeah. What about your kid? If he comes to you, how old's your kid? 8?
I got a 17-year-old and a 4-year-old.
Yeah, you have a 7. I somehow conflated their ages. You have a 17-year-old. What the fuck?
Yeah.
So he's just like, is he out there boning and shit? What's he doing?
I don't know. You know, he doesn't want to talk about that with dad.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not trying to pry too much. I don't want to be too gross.
Does he have like a Philly beard and some Timberlands?
No, he doesn't. But like, you know, he likes rap music and stuff. And,
yeah.
And, I bought him a card the other for Christmas, and I was,
fuck yeah.
I did this thing on my Instagram. I did these like, these brick panels I caught tags on, and that gave me bread to buy him a Crown, or not Crown Vic, a Grand Marquis.
That's awesome.
Brother Matt car. So you can fit all his buddies in there.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Damn, that's hard. That's a big ass car.
You know what? He just wants to hang out with his friends. He doesn't give a shit about anything else.
17.
Go to parties.
Yeah.
I hope he doesn't drink too much. You know, like.
I mean, that's all I want to do at 17. But it was like I started doing graffiti because I just was like, I draw comics and like, this is like,
sure.
And like, this is what, you know, like I was like, I had a misconception of what graffiti was. I was like, oh, this is like, I like this music and this is the art connected to that music. And if I draw comics, I started doing graffiti before I met any of you guys. And then it turned into a thing where it's like, you start getting involved with like a crew, and I'm like, wait, I got to be in this crew because like I need this like support.
Right.
You know, like I needed to have a bunch of people around me because I didn't have anyone around me at home. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I need to have these guys. And I remember it being so important to me to be a part of this thing because you had like, you became esteemable and, mm-hmm. you know, but then like you get into that thing and then there's like a, it's a whole other thing. You have to struggle with like dealing with the hierarchy and the, you know, the politics of being in a crew and like navigating all of that. Like,
but more of the black and white, like I don't particularly want my eldest to be part of graffiti because I know the suffering and whatever like dumb stuff he's doing, partying with friends and stuff is so lightweight. Like 17-year-old me was stealing every day.
Yeah.
B&E's, drugs.
Yeah.
Risking life, hanging, you know, taking these like these monumental risks for like minimal gains, like little like
who's
like
your,
risk who, my life.
Who's your one partner you were doing heavens with for like a summer? It was that kid. He kind
of dropped
out. There's
a few of them. So like my first ones were with Fate.
Yeah, yeah. It was this kid. He disappeared.
This other dude, Donor. And then Juice.
Juice. Maybe it was Juice.
Yeah, Juice.
Yeah.
He was like an Orange County skater kid.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys were running.
I tried to get him to come to the meeting. I couldn't make it happen.
Is he still writing?
No, fuck no. So he's like one of those dudes that's just naturally talented. He wanted to be a skater and he was almost pro and then got tired of it. And then he wanted to be a graffiti writer and he was one of the most up in the city with me.
Yeah.
In the mid-90s. Yeah. And then he was over that, and then he became an orthodontist. And
well, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, apparently he has two offices in like El Toro, Orange County.
There's
down there.
Fucking ways an orthodontist. That's amazing. See, that blows my mind more than a bodybuilder graffiti writer. Imagine you're getting your teeth done, and it's just like, he's like, oh, are you GK? You're like some random dude. He's like, yeah, I'm Zorlak Wunner. We used to fucking bomb the five. Yeah. I remember getting up on a heaven once.
You did not.
Yeah, I did. I got up on a heaven one time.
What freeway?
Somewhere down south. I remember. I got
south
up on
of L.A.?
Yeah, it was like.
You're talking about the one in O.C., the one that was connected to there's like a ramp right there and you can like basically walk on it.
Maybe.
Yeah, it was down by Irvine.
Might have been. It might have been.
Yeah, fool, I know.
Well, I got up on it. Mm-hmm. And I was on the thing and like, I was like trying to paint shit and like a fucking semi went under it and the whole thing shook. And I was like, fuck, I was done. That was it. That's when I was like, I'm not doing
that. Freeway signs and some bridges, depending on how long they are.
Yeah.
They have movement with the truck. I tried to hit a bridge not too long ago and it just shook way too much for me. Like every time an 18 wheeler went on it, like I felt like it was going to bounce me off it.
Yeah.
But I have an old story in the 90s, with a couple of buddies and we were partying in Agora.
Yeah.
And I took at least one hit of acid, but I think I took more than one. And we were like going out to this kid's truck and we were putting our paint in the truck and the cops rolled on us.
Yeah.
And we had all the paint lined up on the bed.
Yeah.
And they're like, what are you guys doing with all this stuff? And I was like so fucking high and I was hallucinating really bad on the sirens.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, there was like, it was melting and all the acid stuff, you know?
Yeah.
But they let us go. Like we didn't really do anything. We were clearly gonna do something.
Where part of town were you in?
We were in Agora.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So
just some white guys in Agora just doing some painting.
It was a mix. It was two Mexicans, two whites.
And they let you guys go.
Yeah, they let us go. Whoa. So anyway, we drive in the city and I'm pretty wasted and we're in Boyle Heights and me and Donor, we climbed up this heaven and in my state, every single car on the freeway was a Buick Regal or a Oldsmobile Cutlass.
Right.
With like a bald head inside it.
Right.
And I was like, it's weird. It's like a whole city of just bald head, like Regal driving fucking Cholos.
Yeah.
And I climbed up and I was doing the front, the green side.
Yeah.
And I only had stock caps. I didn't have fat caps.
Yeah.
And I did my letters as tall as I could reach.
Yeah.
And I did my outline. Then I had to fill in the whole thing, which took me a fucking lifetime, right? You know, like this new paint, for those that don't know, like graffiti comes from hardware stores.
Yeah.
It doesn't come from art stores.
Yeah, you know.
Like it comes from like the same place you get a fucking hammer.
Yep.
You know, not the same place you get a tube of acrylic.
Yeah.
So I'm up there and I'm like using my hardware. I'm using Rusto probably.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe Kron, probably Rusto. And I'm trying to fill this thing in. It's taking forever and ever and ever and ever. And I wasn't paying attention to donor. And he went around to the backside of the heaven. And I'm up there and I look over and he's gone. And I'm like, oh my God.
You're on acid.
I'm on acid.
Jesus Christ, dude.
And I was like, oh my God, that's crazy. And then the heavens start shaking. And I thought it was a fucking earthquake. And I kind of held on to things for a second. And I'm, in my head, like my imagination is getting away from me. And I'm just like picturing like a apocalyptic like movie where like downtown crumbles, you know, like,
yeah.
And I'm like, that's happening right now. And I'm on this fucking freeway sign. But what happened was donor went to the back of the sign and he was climbing on the bars back there and he was shaking the thing.
Was he on acid too?
I don't remember.
Why would you ever paint a heaven on acid? That's fucking crazy.
I used to do all sorts of things on acid that I would never do nowadays.
I didn't know you did that much acid.
Acid, ecstasy.
Ecstasy was big.
I remember being in high school and just being on acid in high school.
Oh, yeah.
Like in second period.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I got kicked out of all my classes. So I had like two classes. Then I was like office aide for like the rest of the day.
Right.
And so I'd be in the office with the principals and the vice principals and the guidance counselors, fucking high as balls, you know, and like they had like avocado shag carpet in the office.
Yeah.
And I'm just like laid out on this couch, like waiting for them to like tell me to take a something to a classroom or something. And there's like dolphins jumping out of the fucking carpet and shit. You know, just like trying to stay focused on like not getting myself in trouble, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I could see that. I could see going to school maybe, or like, you know, taking shrooms, going to, like, I would take shrooms and not tell people and just be hanging out with them all day. And
at the meeting, there were a handful of people on mushrooms.
Oh yeah. I believe people were fucked up. I was like looking, I was like, wow, these fools are getting fucked up in here.
Yeah. 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 But the good drugs, not the bad drugs.
Yeah. Only people good drugs.
Yeah.
I mean, all in all, it was a very like happy and joyous event, you know, and like seeing dudes came out of the woodwork. I just had not, I'm like, I haven't seen like Just or Nice or any
for
of these
sure.
guys. Like,
yeah, yeah.
And everyone was fucking painting. And I was like, holy shit. I underestimated how like, it's hard to even register all the faces.
Yeah.
Cause your brain's like, wait, what, you know, you're seeing.
It was
like,
a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was there down there for like 4 days.
Really?
Yeah. You took the light route. You were only there for a few hours.
No, I was there the whole day.
Okay. Well, I believe you couldn't really see everybody.
The one day I was there, but I was like, I had all the shit I had to do on Sunday. And I was like, if I fucking start painting, I'm gonna have to come back. I'm like, there's no way it's going to be a nightmare.
Tell the truth though.
What?
You're scared to paint.
I wasn't scared to paint. I knew I could pull it off. I just knew it was going to take me a long time. And I was scared. There's still room. What do you mean? Really?
Yeah.
Where?
On the walls.
Oh, we still have access?
I think so, yeah. We're friends with the people that
I could go
run the building.
I mean, are they going to leave that thing running?
I mean, yeah, for sure.
I could get something in there. That could be sick.
Mm-hmm. You might have to stand on a ladder, though.
Oh, fuck that. I fucking hate that.
Yeah, I made sure I didn't get a ladder spot.
I hate a fucking ladder.
Yeah.
So that makes that, really that doubles extra. Your time.
At least, yeah.
Every time I do a piece, there's just a period where I'm like, I'm excited. I do the sketch, sick. In my mind, I'm like, this is going to be really cool. Mm-hmm. I'm going to lay this down. I'm going to do it this way. 6 hours in, I go, I can't finish.
This is too much work.
My
piece was near impossible because like I'm conversating with people. I try to pick the spot all the way at the end.
Yeah.
I like the way it was framed out. It was like the back of these like metal doors.
Yeah.
But the joke was I painted in like 7 minute intervals.
Right.
And when I had time to paint, I'd like paint as fast as I could.
Yeah.
Because someone's gonna be like, yeah, Tim. And I'd be like, I'm happy to see them. I want to talk with them.
Yeah.
But like at the end of this one day, like the piece looked like trash. And I was just like, I don't know if I can pull it. And I tried to do like a piece I'd never done before, like a sketch I'd been sitting on for like 6 months.
Right.
So it was new to me. It looked like a piece I would do.
Yeah, I was scared. I was scared because I knew that I was going to get into the weeds.
Honest.
I was going to get into the weeds. And I also, my mind was not in the place to do it. Like,
sure.
I got a lot of shit on my mind right now. And I'm like, I'm a little distracted. Mm-hmm. And to say the least. And like, I think that I just was like, if I do this, it's going to be a very painful thing for me to do.
That's good. You got to go through that pain sometimes. Right?
Sometimes I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Just suffer a little bit.
I think I've suffered enough. I don't need any more suffering.
No. You're going to suffer
some more?
We all suffer.
Life is suffering.
That's what they say.
That's what my tattoo says. You just got to do it. Life is pain, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Not always, but you know, there's going to be, we all pretend that there isn't going to be pain, but there's going to be pain.
Yeah.
And sure. You're going to get, nobody goes through life pain free.
Yeah.
You know?
What's the fun in that?
No, there's no fun in that because if everything was pain-free, then the good stuff wouldn't feel so good, right?
Yeah. Well, that, I mean, if we can wheel it back to the meeting thing, it's like a lot of these guys have had different paths and a lot of us have suffered. We lost a lot of friends in that time, you know? Yeah. Some of the guys that were like funny crazy are only crazy now.
Right.
And it's something that happens, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so it's like, I think it's great that, you know, you're doing well. All these guys are doing really well.
Yeah. But in order for me to do well, I have to run an extremely tight ship.
Sure.
Because if I don't, I'm like, I'm just as crazy as everyone else. Like I have to, like, I have to fucking keep myself on such like a, and it's not like it's hard. It's hard. It's not like I don't enjoy regimenting things, but if I don't like get up and do my shit and fucking go to do all these things.
Yeah. But that's what's changed in my life. So it's like the graffiti thing before was the 100% destructive.
Yeah.
Like fuck my life up, trying to fuck my life up, everyone else. I want everyone to know how unhappy I am right now.
Yeah. Also, but, you were also seeking out danger. You were for a long time a danger addict.
Yeah, for sure.
You go into neighborhoods and
get cholos to
chase you.
Okay, I got a story about that. But nowadays the thing is graffiti's my treat. It's my candy.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like if I get a chance to go out and get a good highway spot in Philly.
Yeah.
I'm on fucking cloud nine for a couple of days. I'm like, ah, oh, like, ah, right. It was like a fucking good meditation or like yoga fucking retreat. For
right.
Me,
you know right. what I mean? Right.
Like it's cleansing. Like I don't really need to do mushrooms to get that cleanse on the other side.
Right.
But I would do mushrooms.
Yeah. It really pays you out. Mm-hmm. What are you going to say? You're going to tell me a story about?
Oh, about going down in other neighborhoods. Or yeah. So we didn't have any jail stories last time I was on.
Oh, we're going to have some now?
Well, it reminded me of one.
Hi, everybody.
You.
This is the Extremely Low Energy Graffiti Podcast. This is GK is the NPR of graffiti writers. He's the Lakshmi Singh of graffiti.
Nice.
And he's
I've never called me that before.
We're going to take it to another level because we're going to go over to the Patreon and we're going to talk about some incarceration tales, some jail stories, some penitentiary punditry, if you will, and if you may. And we're going to talk about the times when GK made a spread and fed 36 men with one meal and
part of the Red Seas
and became the meanest piece of wood on the pile. So we're going to,
pizza wood,
the meanest piece of wood on the pile.
That'd be sick for an Italian fucking wood.
The pizza wood. Hey, it's pizza wood. Oh,
fuck out of here.
Fuck out of here. if you want to hear more stories about pizza wood and things of that nature, go to the Patreon. And I got to tell you something, call to action. It's $5. Okay. It's $5 a month. GK doesn't pay for anything. I personally, the way Patreon's structured, I have to pay for it so I can hear my own shit. Yeah. And once in a while, I like to listen to an episode just to see how did that come off? How was my enunciation? And what did Jason fuck up this time? This is kind of what I like to do and check. I like to check his homework. But come to the Patreon. It's $5 a month. If you can't afford that, then you can't afford to live. Join us. We're here for you. GK is going to tell us some amazing jail stories.